Hi, Anya.
Hi, Theo. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here. This is no joke. When I say this, this has been...
Lucas is.
Actually, we
hey,
can...
Anya, D.
I can look
hi,
at the...
Is.
It's Anya.
Hey, Tibbs.
And look at the DM. Oh, hi, Tiberius.
I'm going to look at the DM to prove how long... We've been trying to collaborate. Is it 2021? I don't even got to look at it. 2021.
It's late 2021, it looks like. This has been in the works. Yeah, long time overdue.
I stumbled upon Anya's channel when I was first... So 2020...
Y'all are slow.
I got my... we are slow. We got our... I got my master's. I was going through Twitch channels. I found Al. I found Tiberius. I found Anya. So many people. And Anya was playing and doing Over the Wire Bandit. And the reason why that blew my mind was because I was going through Over the Wire Bandit also. I was one of the first things I used to cut my teeth on Linux. And here was someone else actually doing Over the Wire. When everyone else was talking about TriHack, we had hacked the box, I was starting on Over the Wire. And so it was Anya, and it blew my mind. So we started chit-chatting, right?
Yeah, we started chatting and, you know, raiding into each other's channel. When I was doing Bandit, it was also the first thing I was going through. I'd gone through Bandit. We might get more into this, but
Jess says
I've been doing CTFs.
Happy affiliate anniversary. Party hat.
With my university's white hat hacking club.
Okay.
But I was always like a backbencher, so I didn't take it too seriously. So I'd gone through Bandit a few times, but honestly, I was like reading the answers and. Through the guides.
Yeah.
Just to do catting in LS, it's kind of funny to look back on. And when you found me, I was trying to, like, I'm going to take this seriously and then I'm going to take this step to try hack me.
Mm-hmm.
And meeting you and meeting everybody on the list, the InfoSec list, Tiberius, Trash Puppy.
Yeah.
So many great people, you know, that's what inspired me to go forward. Over the Wire is a sacred thing, right?
It really is. It's unapologetic. I mean, they've added a couple things, but they have not elaborated any more on any of the clues that they have in there. And one of the first clues is like, Google it, bro. Use the man page, sister. You know, like, get out there and like like go and find the answer. It's hilarious. Nerd. Huge nerd, Spectre.
Yeah. I love it. I love that it's never really changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've added a few more buffer overflow games, I believe.
Okay.
It's just always there. It's a little bit of a comfort.
Yeah. So a couple things here real quick. Let me read. I'm going to start it. Actually, when I do release this, I'm going to keep that beginning part. I forgot to read the intro, but I'm going to do that now. And then we'll just start talking or whatever. And then I have a surprise for Luca, if Luca's still here. I've been holding this surprise, Luca, for over a month. Hello, and welcome back to USBR Guest Cybersecurity Tips. I'm Theo. Here to help you break down cybersecurity news and hacks and how they affect you. However, today I'm interviewing Anya Askey, and she's a Linux and HPC administrator. We recorded the interview in an open Discord channel, so that's what you see in the top left corner, with video while monitoring chat, and chat has a text-to-speech bot that's developed by Security Live. So I'm going to let that roll, which is usually good for trolling me in the middle of the interview, Anya. Anya was kind enough to go through my questions that I send guests in advance and answer them at length, which is great. I love when people answer the questions and they really like dive into the answers. Please send any questions to me in a DM or in chat while we're live, and we'll do our best to cover them. So with that being said, Luca, I'm walking around the grocery store the other day and me and my wife were walking through, and I audibly gasp, and I run.
Knoppers.
Did you see him? And there on the bottom shelf of Aldi, of all places, were Knoppers. And not one, a five-pack. So I've been waiting and dying for you to show up, and here they are, and I'm going to eat one. But not right now. I am going to eat one. I'm just so excited you're here that I can show them to you.
Go Knoppers again. Smile.
So. I mean, you can have one. We did have a lengthy troubleshooting session.
We did. Stream together is an abomination. Yes.
Lucas, it's not ready for prime time.
It's not ready.
That's amazing.
We are two above stream together, so.
Or two below it.
Yeah, that's probably it, Anya. Nah. For me. Okay, so again, we're just going to chit-chat and tell me as little as much about this. I wrote in some notes, but I'm just going to be asking you questions because I'm going to be naturally curious about it. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is who you are and your background. So please, deep dive as much or as little as you want.
Deep dive, okay. Well, yeah, what's up? I'm Anya. Thanks again for having me this morning, Theo. Again, a long time coming. So right now I'm a, as mentioned, Linux HPC administrator, and kind of an eclectic background. I started my childhood. I was drawn to art and filmmaking, actually. I wanted to be a cinematographer or like Scorsese. I had big dreams in that direction. But I grew up in a household that was, while very encouraging, looked towards expanding analytical thinking and professions like white collar, I guess you would say, to the extent that exists. So legal field, accounting, etc. So I went to university, studied economics and political science, was a few credits short when I dropped out originally, and then entered the workforce, actually in accounts payable in administration.
Translated from Tagalog.
Wasn't exactly a passion of mine. I did consider like getting a CFA at that point,
okay.
just kind of lost in general. So my friends were making money though in IT recruiting, and I eventually landed a job in IT recruiting. I would interview people I would get in trouble for interviewing them because I was so fascinated by what everybody was doing in the tech field, especially a Linux kernel developer I worked with. I'd speak to them for like an hour and a half, picking their brain. So at that point, that was like the real jumping point to getting and being more serious about tech. Up until that point, you know, I look back, I was a Linux user as early as 2010.
I had been fooling around with
GPG, PGP, keys and cryptography.
Party hat.
Okay.
But I never really connected that I had a passion for tech until I was hearing others speak about it. So then that prompted me to go back to school and actually finish my bachelor's. And that's how I started up here. I applied for a help desk job and just ground my way up to where I am now, and kind of fell backwards into this role. So I wasn't tending to go into cybersecurity.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And that's already leading me into one of the first things I wanted to talk about, was because you get questions like this. I get questions like this. I only think I'm partly versed enough to even answer it. But everyone's path is different. Do you think it's safe to say that if you're looking for an optimal path before you get started, you're never going to get started. Like there's no straight line to what you're doing, to get to where you're going. It always changes. How you feel about that?
No, I totally agree. That it's my life and just within tech, you know, when I got started in tech in earnest, within desktop support and then studying cybersecurity and IT, it was not a straight path from there. Just like, okay, get the degree, get the certifications, which I never got, but I then land the job. You know, there's, like you said, there's different pathways. You don't have to come from a traditional academic background like I do. I think, you know, you're constantly, you should be constantly learning and pushing yourself and pushing your boundaries. And through that, more than like these roadmaps, like here, start here, go here, profit, whatever,
I think
you just need to be constantly working on gathering your knowledge in IT, mm-hmm. cybersecurity, whatever your passion is, cybersecurity, HPC. And from the learning, I think you'll start to refine what you actually enjoy. And then if you're super analytical like me, you can cross that, compare that with what education is required, what certification is mm-hmm. required. But you should keep an open mind.
Trash puppy. Trash puppy, your roots through your trash says.
Trash puppy. Ooh. One of the things I also learned is I went to an HPC workshop in Arizona, and that's where I was like, yeah, that's correct. Everybody had their own story of how they got into technology, one, and then how they got into the niche that is high performance computing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is like, am I equipped to answer this question? Like you said,
yeah.
For me, it's just, yeah, it's not an A to B to C, C
through your trash says.
B to F to Z, back to A.
Yeah.
Such is life.
It's a very zigzagged cross looping over, yes, path. And I've begun to answer that question with, based on my experience, this is what I think you should consider. But yeah, it's never a straight path. So my next question is, because I think you've already answered it, I saw Linux administrator in HPC. What are you doing? What is, if you were to dumb it down for an old fart, like what is that?
High performance computing. So we're managing, designing, and supporting high performance computing system, usually a cluster. By the way, this is what Hetanis works in.
Hetanis works in HPC?
Yep.
Okay.
So we manage, and hopefully we'll get the money to design a cluster. So you've built a cluster, servers and nodes. So we enable, those systems enable researchers to run like computational analysis and jobs, which is like heavy data analysis, lots of Python scripting. We run them through a scheduler on our cluster. I know this is a lot of new language for me as a junior. So you need to have the equipment that allows for those intensive computational jobs to be run,
okay.
You know, really large storage and bandwidth requirements. In that sense, it's interesting because it's moving, it's more traditional tech. It's moving in a different direction than the cloud. Mm-hmm. So that's not quite perfected for the level of the jobs that people need to run. So researchers will run like Python, bash scripting, that's will okay. be for computational analysis of different areas, physics, chemistry. So they'll end up doing like maybe data modeling or COVID graphs.
Okay.
So we do a lot of restricted activity, DoD, NIH, HIPAA restricted stuff on the cluster.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting.
I don't know that dumbed it down.
No, it did. And actually, it brought me to another question. You're doing these huge, big projects, yeah. right? You're crunching these massive, you know, right? These data sets right. that you're working with,
yes.
but you're using a Linux distribution of sorts to manage it, right?
Right. We use So you have the infrastructure.
Okay.
The actual servers and the nodes that we set up and mount to the file system. So then we have, once you like SSH into the server, you'll be interacting with Linux, in our case, Red Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other primary one is job schedulers. So that'll actually manage, how do I explain this one? It handles job submissions. So you might submit a job that's going to run a computational analysis against a data set for, like I said, COVID. We have a lot of COVID research going on now.
Okay.
And the job submission, this is all very new to me. This is still new to me, so it's interesting. I should have written this part out. That's the one thing I didn't write out. And it gave you like a novel too.
No, but no, I mean, that makes sense. If I can explain it back to you, like you are using a version of Red Hat Linux, right?
Right.
And to interact with these big data sets. And I know that's very generalization that I'm saying, but I mean, like you said, you're SSHing into this Linux environment that helps manage those data sets. Is that close?
Right. That's probably a good enough summation.
Okay.
It's partially managed by Linux, but it's also the other aspect is like we have other, you know, primarily the job submission management. So
okay,
a researcher can SSH into our server and submit a job. Let's just keep it a data set for physics.
Okay.
What physics? I don't know. But they'll submit a script. So it'll be usually a Bash script or Python. Sometimes Julia, which I need to look into. And they can just get up and it'll be in our queue. It'll run. It'll just run through the analysis of the, like the input file will direct that. The Bash scripting in the like data sets will interact and they can just like get up. They just submit the job and then it'll just run on our cluster. So we have people running work for days at a time, weeks at a time.
Really? Days, right, or weeks? Okay, I didn't realize. Yeah, I thought it would be like a couple hours. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So some are a couple hours, but then, you know, why not move to doing that on cloud? Because mm-hmm. cloud HPC is something that's starting to trend. Right now, it's not quite optimal for the level of work we need to do. Again, you need to have like tons of storage.
Yeah.
You know, the best GPU, best GPUs out there. AI super chips are the new thing we're working with.
Are you really? I just read about those. Before I forget, what kind of movies would you have created if you went that route? What do you think?
I think I would have done like something in the style of Wes Anderson.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I really like that, the fast-paced cuts in the Wes Anderson films.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call them. In French, they call them Jean de la Jean.
Okay.
So you go from shot to shot to shot to shot. And yeah, his process is really interesting because he actually has the actors, instead of doing like a one or two takes, they'll do entire reels.
Wow.
Of the same take, and he'll be like, okay, now do this morose. Now do this Wes Anderson in a comedic manner. Filmmaker. He's an amazing filmmaker.
Okay.
I recently watched the French Dispatch, which is a little bit inaccessible for a neophyte, but it is visually just beautiful. I could talk forever about film and Wes Anderson.
Okay, well, let's get through all this boring tech stuff, and then we'll get to Wes. We'll get back to Wes Anderson. Let's say, okay, so in your current role, we talked about that, Linux administrator.
Right.
In that, you also mentioned when you answered here, you had a couple of terms in here that I was not, that I'm not aware of. I was not, I don't understand them. And I figure you're trolling me. So something like slurm, lamp.
Slurm.
Yes. Like, right. What are some of these? You don't got to go real deep into them, but what are some of them? What RH?
So the lamp stack, you can, people use the lamp stack outside of HPC. That's not specific to HPC.
Okay.
That's kind of one of the areas that I'm specializing in right now.
Okay.
But LAMP would be Linux, Apache, or Nginx.
Okay. All right.
MySQL or MariaDB. MariaDB.
Okay.
And it goes to MySQL.
Okay.
And then the P is Python, Perl, PHP.
Okay.
So you want to, you know, have all that, the knowledge of all of that stack, like any other stack.
Okay.
And Slurm is the name when I was trying to get a definition for job submission. Slurm is where you would submit your script.
Okay. So that you're talking about your researchers, they were adding, mm-hmm. they were running jobs, and this is part of that.
Right. Slurm would handle like the out of memory errors, the time elements. And hopefully, you know, once we get everything sorted out, run those jobs to completion, and the researchers will have their analysis.
Okay.
I can give you a better description of that.
No, I mean, whatever you want to, I mean, that makes sense.
Takes a while to get down. It probably will take years for me to get this down.
All right. You were also talking about the AI super chips. Now, I've heard about some of these. I think OpenAI had mentioned, and maybe it was, I briefly remember the story. I don't fully remember it, but I thought Sam was talking about needing some absurd amount of money for these AI super chips. Is that the same thing, or describe whatever you understand about them?
Yeah, I honestly don't know much about the AI infrastructure. So it'll just be a chip within like a traditional server.
Okay.
But it's going to give you more of that computational power, especially as we're advancing with the language learning models.
Okay.
That's something we just got in. I should look at the infrastructure and more about like the chipsets.
They're not laying around the office like my stack of of computer parts. No.
No, nor mine. Off right. screen actually.
Okay.
We've mostly just right now in my job, like there's so much to learn. Like what is Slurm? What is this? Didn't know it 6 months ago. About 6 months ago. And yeah, I should look into the AI super chips, but all I know is that I have to install RHEL on the server, you know?
Yeah.
These NVIDIA AI super servers, mm-hmm. super chips. So I'm like, okay, just solve that much, right? Get RHEL on that box.
Let me ask you this. Tagore has a question, I believe, but let me ask you this first. How do you navigate that with a lot of the terms that you don't fully understand? Like, how do you navigate that? What kind of environment are you in that you're able to, what do you do with a lot of those terms? Because you're dealing with a lot of, unknown concepts when, you know, throughout your day. You know, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, so I rely a lot on my team, and I think that's something that's pretty universal to tech. As far as from the outset, it was helpful to look at past work, both like user support work, so that's housed in something like Jira,
mm-hmm.
and so I can see past incidents and past, I think they call them stories, for work that we've done, and hopefully the documentation is good enough that it'll it usually gives me a jumping point to be like, okay, what is this. We went through the basics when I came aboard the team of Slurm, of the different partitions within our cluster, but the rest of it I've picked a lot up through internal documentation, Confluence, Jira, looking at similar past projects, similar support, and then doing just like a ton of outside research on my, in my free time, trying to replicate those environments on a set of ties right now. But I'll probably have to buy another 5 or 10 pies. And I will say with something like this, the workshop I went to was extremely helpful. So that gave us a broad overview of all the different languages, language that you'll need to utilize, like in areas like infrastructures, data storage, software building, and then the tools that you're using. So yeah, I would think, you know, I think that's probably applicable to a lot of tech jobs. Like, you're going to pick that up as you go, as you consult with team members.
Right. Was that workshop that you were in? I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no, and then, like, I'm big on internal documentation.
Read the manual? Oh, that sounds awful. Please.
Yeah.
Okay. That's always wise. But the workshop always. You attended, was it something internal or was it something outside your organization?
Yeah, so that was outside my organization. It was it's an HPC institute. I don't know if I actually am like allowed to say. I never found out.
No, you don't. But my point is that you
people can put it together.
If you didn't understand something and something was available outside your workspace, then absolutely you should be taking advantage of it to, you know, burn a Saturday morning, maybe not go out all night the night before and get that education outside your workspace.
Right. And we have a really close relationship with a lot of the institutes. The issue with HPC that I don't think is present in other areas is it's such a niche. We don't have certifications specific to HPC. There's a handful of universities around the world that will give you some sort of, like, I don't know what they're called, graduate level cert or something like that.
Okay.
Where you take like 4 courses. Yeah, it's different. So you have to take advantage of these workshops. There's a few every year. I actually hope to go to one in May. We'll see.
Okay. Cool.
take advantage of that.
Good. Tagora had mentioned the best description of HPC from a friend was the inverse of virtual machines. Instead of splitting resources out, you're stitching resources together to run a massive parallel processing.
Right, you're doing parallel file systems and parallel computational processes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was thinking, I think virtual machine would be a better just a way to think of it than I think. I think of cloud, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to run a in cloud environment, running a lot of repetitive tasks very quickly.
Okay.
And then on our machinery, our infrastructure and cluster, it's the opposite. You're running huge jobs that will take a lot of time and a lot of resources.
Okay.
That's a good way to, Tior's got a good definition.
Makes sense.
A good way to think that.
I asked you about your location. You're in the U.S. That's plenty
I'm
fine.
I'm in America.
America. Yep.
I'm in one of the most America places in America, I would argue.
I asked you how old you were. You were kind enough to say about your 30s, which is fine too. The only reason, again, the reason why I asked you that was because I wanted people to understand that also that, you know, everyone's a different age or in different stages in their life when they're working through tech. So
yeah, I'm technically in my mid 30s now. So yeah, I think I put in that original one. This joke my mom always says. That's actually pretty sexist, I think. Never ask a woman her age or a man his salary.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad that you brought it up because I was like, I wonder if I should ask where she may have heard that from. Because, and the reason why is because because I'm a little bit older, I've heard stuff like that too. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that super outdated.
Yeah.
Outmoded boomer stuff. those things are hard to. Oh God, my mom would say that constantly. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get out of your head.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I get the same thing. Previous jobs, you mentioned this already too, before your role there, you work in IT recruiting, administration, right. Accounts payable, that kind of thing. Is there anything else you want to tell us about your previous jobs? Anything you may have learned that was, you know, useful to you now?
Yeah, I definitely picked up a lot of useful, even though, I mean, accounts payable and what I'm doing now would be more different. You know, I think, you know, with accounts payable, it was good because it was learning just how to exercise logic and, again, like analytical thinking skills. I think a lot of people de-emphasize that today, where it's like no Bash, no Python, you know, everything that's more tangible. But having those analytical skills, having those that work with teammates and coworkers, it is really important, and that was extremely vital. I think we might get into it later, but the other thing is I learned throughout my very long journey, my job history, but I mean, I could go further, but I won't go into my teens. Yeah. it just, you learn to be okay with failing.
Yeah.
You're not going to be perfect in any job, including cybersecurity, security analysis, or HPC Linux. And that's okay. Nobody is. Very few people are good from out the gate. And so it's, for me, it was about accepting some failure or in past jobs, you know, not feeling like I was getting any movement because I wasn't moving anywhere. I kept moving laterally, consistently. Okay. Yeah, just to not get into like negative thought patterns, the imposter syndrome and whatnot. You gotta you gotta push back and be like, well, look at where you've come and look at how much you've learned. As a result of having these adversities in the workplace.
Those are two great points that you brought up about being positive and not being afraid to fail. I struggled with that for a good part of my life. Was I didn't want to try something because I was afraid to fail. And actually, I was just afraid to fail in front of people, like, right. Which you got to get over too. But you got to try stuff and you got to fail. And through that, you learn like what you're good at, what you're naturally suited for or inclined to, which would help also.
Yep.
Yeah. And you, when you start to accept it, I struggle with that very much till today. I have to actively push against that voice in my head. That's you're an imposter.
They're all going to find out.
All these people, yeah. They're going to know. Yes. Other people are a big element of that.
Yeah.
It's just Twitch can be very helpful in that way. It's like, okay, I'm just putting myself out here like I am now, like we are now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's another thing that drew me to watching your content too, is that, and a lot of people on Twitch, they're working through stuff. They're trying to figure things out. I think there's something to be said with the vulnerability, the honesty of learning something live on stream, and live on video, especially for other people to see. I admire everyone's courage that tries to do that, decides to show that. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Carrie. So your scripting languages. What do you know for scripting languages?
I know Python, I know Bash. I wouldn't claim to be an expert in anything. So I had started with Python. I had started with Bash years ago and worked with it on and off, and projects on and off. But really I've kind of started to improve more that I have to use it day to day. I have to use those two languages specifically in day to day to automate tasks, but also, we're often have to go through researchers' scripts and just do kind of code review and help them optimize their scripting to run on our infrastructure.
Okay.
That's really helped me. Yeah. Get okay. better. Get good.
How do you...
yeah, I had fooled around with other languages, Visual, C#, I took in university. I've told the story on my channel about Visual Basic. I took a Visual Basic course and it put me off programming for a long time.
Okay.
I really just missed it. Yeah.
Party hat. Thank you, Chad.
Oh, it's you. I didn't know you were here. Anniversary.
Yeah, I thought I had to like activate that, but then it just showed up the other day. So maybe they were waiting. They were too big. They got tired of me waiting to activate it. They just put it on my screen, anyways.
That's really cool.
What is your level of education? What do you currently have so far?
So I have a bachelor's degree, and I had gone to university and after high school, and then was a few credits short. Went back for another go and a few years ago, and so I earned my bachelor's in IT and focus in cybersecurity. Intended to like, I'm blanking on the language where you would go from bachelor's combined master's into a PhD.
Yeah, PhD, but I believe is the next level. Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended at the graduate portion.
Okay.
And that's something I'm now looking to get back into, to graduate studies.
Okay.
Hopefully next year, and hopefully I'll get some sort of reimbursement on that.
There you go. Right. But again, that's interesting as well. You have a bachelor's degree in economics, political science, and now you have your master's in information technology and system. Or no, bachelor's.
No, because it was a combined, I never finished the credits to get the graduate. So technically, I think when I fill out applications, it would be some graduate education, but the highest I actually earned is a bachelor's.
Okay. For right now. You got plans.
Yeah, I have plans.
Yep.
Yeah. And HPC is one of those areas where there are a lot of PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly pressure, but there's a little bit of pressure maybe to get a higher level degree. Not a PhD. That's just not gonna
be for that's me. Man, that's a lot. That really is.
A lot of work.
I've touched and looked at it a little bit, but yeah, it's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. 5, 7, 9 years of your life.
The next question I had is like, what have you taught yourself? And I think this is important question to ask, because there's gonna be formal settings. There's formal settings where you take classes, you could follow something on Udemy or on those other platforms. But, you know, I think, in my opinion, I get a better understanding of something if I'm sitting down with it, I'm reading through manuals and I'm trying to build it. So what are some things you taught yourself?
It's in like... So, like, specific skills or more, like, subject-oriented?
Both, or one or the other, whichever.
I mean, when I really in earnest started to switch into technology, I started teaching myself. I took very few actual formal courses in cybersecurity, despite having a focus in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught myself the blue teaming, red teaming security concepts, got into obviously Linux. Linux was always kind of more of a tertiary thing as I was interested in cybersecurity. But, learning the different distributions of Linux, exploring the OS and learning how to work with the command line, all the scripting programming languages I've done, all the learnings, not all the learning, but a good portion is coming through work. But again, I started teaching that to myself, trying to get into Python projects.
Anya, give me 1 second. I'm sorry. I didn't count for time correctly. But keep talking about it. I'll be right back.
It's my fault. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I was coming up anyways.
I know, but she was here early, so.
Okay.
Okay. I love you.
Have fun. Yeah, what if I taught myself? That's such a odd question. Almost, scripting, Linux, a bit of Azure. I never followed through on, like, the Azure certifications. Getting used to, I did work with the Elk stack a bit. Done some projects for the web years back. Working with Pi, and at one point, really into virtualization.
Chad B. Moop says,
I think you do a bit of everything.
Yeah, I do a bit of everything. I tend to pick up I'm interested in one from my past was GPG, PGB keys. I got really into cryptography and encrypting my own emails. Nobody ever wanted to actually send emails like that, but I tend to pick up projects like that. Oh, I'm interested in encryption, cryptography, and then run through that. Try to find projects and run through that.
Professional streamer. Sorry about that. thank you for chit-chatting. Yep, good.
Yeah, no, I think it's accurate that, like, I just picked up a little bit of everything across programming, I wouldn't call it developing, programming, cybersecurity, Linux, a little bit of cloud, and yeah, I operate like I just get really interested in something, and then I'll fixate on it, potentially, and run that through. Well, thank you.
It was interesting. I'm going to give you a little bit of a layup here, but you were doing, you're dabbling on the different Linuxes before you got your job into this Linux role. How much did that help you with your understanding of your role?
Oh, that definitely helped quite a bit. In fact, I mean, I wish I had gotten deeper into the LAMP stack. Earlier, but just knowing how to navigate the command line and just kind of some basic, shockingly, I SSHing and knowing about like the bash rc files, etc/host, the kind of the broad scope, the file system and directory, testing out the distros. I was in a Debian user for a long time. It was a little bit of a challenge switching over to RHEL, but I like Red Hat.
Okay.
I like Fedora. Yeah, it gave me at least a basis of which to build off of.
Okay.
The stuff that I had learned before getting in the job. Again, I think of it like before getting this particular position in HPC, it's kind of like I was trying to prioritize cybersecurity. Really wanted to get into it like a sec engineer position, and Linux was always just like kind of the vehicle in which, you know, you do your pen testing, right, or your monitoring,
right.
And then when I started the job, that all switched, and now the first priority is absolutely Linux.
Okay. did you answer? Tiberius is asking, I believe, if you're going to Hackerspace Con.
I am going to Hackerspace Con.
Okay. Cool.
But I live in the free state of Florida, so I might as well, right?
And Tiberius is am I remembering this right? I think Tiberius is doing a talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That should be very exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking for the course of that talk and meeting people.
Yep. I'm gonna try. I got some unexpected news a couple weeks ago. I can't remember if I told you, I told my community, but I'm no longer working for the company I was working for. And I can't really say anything other than that. So I'm looking for a new role. But my goal at the beginning of this year was to get to DEF CON, which is, I'm still going to try to do. So, get out there, hopefully.
It's a tough thing.
Yeah. How important are certifications? You know, a lot of people will come in and they'll ask and say, hey, what should I do? Should I go to school? Should I get certificates? Should I just do this, do that? What are your thoughts on certificates?
You know, I have a little bit of a mixed view on certificates. Mm-hmm. It is important to have certificates, particularly just to demonstrate you have that baseline of knowledge and ability. You know, the difficulty is coming in evaluating what certificates to get and which are reputable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's, for me, a little bit easier to deal with traditional academia, which everybody has a different on path. I don't want to discourage certificates because they are important. Just evaluating academia can be very easy. You have a regional accreditation board for your university. It either has accreditation or it doesn't, and then you can base that. But yeah, I think certs are important. And if you can't get to a traditional university or start a formal program, or that's just not your style or how you learn, go for certs. I would just recommend evaluating the vendor, the reputation of the vendor, feedback from the tech community writ large, or cybersecurity. What is the reputation of the Security Plus exam?
Mm-hmm.
Another element I would look for is it applied knowledge? So like in Linux, I am doing the Linux Plus exam. I had to put it off because of all the workshops I'm going to. But Linux Plus is going to be it's multiple choice and kind of just be, again, baseline knowledge. It's good to have out there, but I think particularly managing and administering RHEL, I'd be looking towards the Rad Hat certifications.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are applied. You're working within a lab environment. You know, it's a replicated environment. So I would, you know, just encourage people to look for that within security. So often security, OSCP being the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that reputable vendor, good feedback, it's applied. And my one thing is just evaluate your finances when you're doing your analysis. Don't feel pressured to get the certification, because you don't know what on paths you'll have ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have as many options and openings as possible, but I've known a lot of people who've gone out and are out 5-10 grand and are no further along in their careers. So, you know, make sure you can assess and take on that financial, liability.
Yep. That's a great point to have. Yeah. The analysis paralysis is different than doing your due diligence on an organization or a certification or a boot camp. Take your time to read the comments. Take your time to do some research. That's a great great suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah, I get the paralysis through analysis.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm definitely guilty of that. Mm-hmm. But definitely, like you said, due diligence is a different thing.
Yep. So how did you land your job in the industry? You said you kind of fell into it kind of backwards or whatever, but describe that. How did you get into it?
Well, I was taking courses and I had been working in desktop support, you know, doing the troubleshooting at the application layer, mostly Windows. And I had through work and through education, had networked with a lot of great professors, and then, you know, my managers, my teammates. So when I was looking for a new job, I just saw that there was a Linux admin role opening. Saw it was for research computing and HPC. I'm like, I don't know what any of that is, but Linux admin, that sounds cool. I'm gonna just take my shot. And I was able to work on those relationships I had built internally within the organization, and also some of the professors I had also had very important roles, like outside of you know, just the academic or instructing setting. So I wouldn't say, I mean, I did grind for a long time in tech, for a few years in tech. One of the entry level positions that you can get. But ultimately with HPC Linux, yeah, I just fell backwards. And it was due to those relationships that I got that. And the proof that I could do the work. Because I absolutely bombed that interview. It was one of the worst I've ever had.
Okay.
That dog we were talking about, I was asking, could you hear it?
Nope.
It was going off constantly, but we don't have the noise suppression within, Teams.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I can't. I do, but I can't hear it. You must have it on or something, but I can't hear the dog at all.
I'm glad. It's like a million degrees in my room. I was sweating. Anyway, it was, I forgot very basic aspects of my background, and still I ended up with the job. And it's only for those relationships, and that I had put the work in the desktop support and other roles to prove I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can learn it.
Yep. Look, that's interesting. And I want to talk about that relationships and about that work you did. I think those are two good points. But first, a burning question. It's the middle of the summer. And there is hypothetically, in my question I'm asking you, it's the middle of summer. CVS or Walgreens is running a sale on Arizona Tall Boys. Like buy one, get one 50 cents or whatever. Which flavor Arizona iced tea do you get?
Okay, I had to verify that a tall boy was iced tea.
It's in the same can as a beer tall boy. Same okay, size.
Yeah.
But the Arizona teas are just as big tall cans.
I think I get some, when I get the Arizona iced teas, I get some sort of raspberry mix.
Okay, yep. Yeah, there's a raspberry iced tea. Yep.
Okay, yeah, it would be raspberry, maybe like ginseng secondarily.
Okay. What was the second one? I'm sorry, the Texas Peach was going.
Ginseng.
Ginseng tea. Yep, I've heard that too. The green tea. Yep. Yep.
I love raspberry.
Okay.
I'll have it in anything.
Nice. I look for it all the time. I got a Walgreens on the corner. I got a Rite Aid. I got a CVS. And usually throughout the summer, they rotate their sale. And the people think I must be mad because I walk in with, like, even my kid knows. He'll text me because he'll drive by the Walgreens or CVS and says, Dad, they're on sale. I says, all right, what flavors do you want? And I go up there and I get sweet tea for myself or lemon tea or mango. And
mango.
Yeah. I just, nice. I can't help myself. I used to sell that stuff. Yeah.
Used to sell it.
Yeah. At one time I was a beverage, a route manager for a beverage company. We sold Red Bull and Arizona iced tea and 5-hour energies and stuff like that. So, those are some heavy ass cases.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I have friends in like the beverage industry and they have, stories about being bar backs and,
mm-hmm.
That backbreaking work.
Yep.
So what? Just to be clear, what tea was your tea?
I'll get sweet tea, the white can sweet tea, or mango. Yep.
Mango, right?
Fruit punch is good too, but yeah, if I'm choosing and it's a hot summer day, an Arizona sweet tea hits the spot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Good old traditional southern drink.
Yep. Yeah, I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for a little bit. I know it's not Florida, but yeah, it's a little bit south.
Yes. It's not South Florida. No. Nothing is. Charlotte's a great city, I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It's been a while since I've been up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this next question was, how necessary is building relationships and networking? And to frame this a little bit more, I've always talked about LinkedIn or Discord or people in industry as networking. And we recently did an interview with Monospace Mentor or Full Stack Live, and he framed it as you should really think of it as relationship building. Like, networking seems a little bit clinical, and maybe you're just clicking or liking a LinkedIn post or whatever. But when you're talking about relationships, you're really talking to people and understanding where they come from, and you're building that relationship. So I think it was important you said the relationships that you build with people and the experience that you showed. And that's going to be my question. How did you show them that you had the experience? You mentioned a little bit about your previous roles, but was there that, or was there anything else in combination of that?
Well, I would like to say, I think GEO networking is an extreme, it is a very clinical term. So it is more about building relationships rather than, I don't know, harding. Can you hard on LinkedIn? I actually don't know.
I think they do have a heart. It's weird. It's like a hand that's holding a heart, like in midair. There's the thumbs up thing on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that building relationships, and I'll try to remember to tie that back to me.
Sure.
Just crucial for career progression, crucial for your own development as a person. But I think those go hand in hand.
Okay.
So in my case, how did I demonstrate that? So I mean, it wasn't a traditional academic, environment, and had gotten to know some professors who could pull some strings and got me my first entry level jobs, which then building those relationships just made them comfortable to at first, recommend me for a role.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, kept in touch, but then continued to build new relationships through other avenues. So you mentioned the platforms, but more in my case, I'm just better one-on-one with people or in person. And I think, my work speaks for itself. Sometimes it doesn't, though, so you do have to build those relationships.
Right.
Not totally accurate. It's a confluence of factors.
Mm-hmm. But,
I got my foot in the door through some relationship building. I just demonstrated I was a hard worker. I can pick up information quickly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And was reliable. And I think, some of those more intangible skills that I talked about up front, like mm-hmm. analytical, critical thinking, and making sure you're developing that, and how to form relationships with others
mm-hmm.
is important, because my job could not be more different than what I was doing 6 months ago in desktop support. I was working in a Windows environment, like nothing crosses over. There's that little bit of, the Linux, RHEL, being familiar with distros and having a little bit of background in Bash and Python. But other than that, it was just really people having faith in me that I could pick up all this new language within high performance computing, and that, again, if you can exercise that, you can think analytically. I think people understand that you're more likely to be able to pick up a wide variety of skills.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Yeah, you're putting yourself out there. You're showing them that you can work and you can understand things, and yeah.
Yeah, and the the platforms are good for that. Again, I just play to your strengths, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
No one single on path, and that applies to building relationships as well. So I prefer to speak to people in person. I don't know how to use Discord. It's demonstrated this morning in our troubleshooting. But hey, you know, if Discord is how you can connect, go for it. You're connecting with like-minded people. If LinkedIn fits for you, Twitch fits for me, I guess. You know, we get to go live and ramble, and people come in and give advice and kind of build from there. But, you know, just evaluate your strengths and what you want to do, and then how can you not only build the relationships, but then it gets something out there that demonstrates that you know how to do your job, that you could adapt to a job. Because the other thing that really helped me, other than the networking,
mm-hmm.
was that I had my Twitch VODs up for my now team, but the interviewing panel to look for. And they did mention that, hey, if you didn't have Twitch,
how would we know what you did? Yeah.
Yeah, because I got in and I could barely remember my own name. But they saw that I could do the work,
mm-hmm.
and that I'd put in the work, and that I was passionate, because taking all this time, thousands of hours on Twitch. So for you, if that's Discord, that's workshopping,
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, whatever your platform, just build those relationships,
mm-hmm.
and get something out there. It doesn't have to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes back to learning to fail and assess your weaknesses. It doesn't matter. Putting out something, and I got to get better at this, putting out something, but it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than not putting yourself out there at all.
Yep. I agree with you on that, especially on GitHub. I think it's viewed differently through developers. Yeah. I think developers really want a perfect product out there before they do anything. I'm not so sure that applies for security people, or even administration. I mean, I think we're constantly in a process of using different tools, using different scripts, and if we're going to have something on GitHub, like, that's always going to be changing. Like, does that make sense?
It's always going to be evolving. So I would imagine that's a totally different calculation for a developer to make, though.
Mm-hmm.
With their GitHub.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a big... I like GitHub, I just don't have a good workflow.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of set up.
Lucas is. Oh, don't worry. I never...
Yeah, I think everything's constantly evolving. The projects are constantly evolving. I can't speak to the developer experience, so mm-hmm. I know it's GitHub is, though, more obviously vital in other sectors. But yeah, definitely a good place to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. And that leads me into the next question too, because, again, a lot of my questions are intended to, like, set up people or kind of drive home a point that I want to talk about too, is the importance of stepping outside of your comfort zone. Like, when you first begin to network or try to build relationships, it's going to be awkward, even in a business setting. But the only way that you get better at doing those things with networking or getting to know people is if you just do it more, just like practicing anything else. So what are your thoughts on, and you've answered this in all the questions I've sent you, but what do you feel is the importance of stepping out of your comfort zone? What does that help accomplish? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, you know, I just think it's important to step out of your comfort zone, so it's not only going to exercise the relationship building, being crucial for the professional growth. So, you know, we're talking about projects, growth in a certain subject area, programming, Git, you know, whatever stack you might be learning. But also to be kind of trying to driving home the intersection of your personal growth to I really didn't drive home analytical and critical thinking skills are just as important as those technical skills. So when you're putting yourself outside the comfort zone, whether it's like, I don't know, doing an interview on Twitch, you're building those relationships, you're bonding with somebody else who we have very similar interests, although we've kind of gone into different areas of tech. Meeting those lifelined people. So, constantly learning, constantly adapting. I think that's important to demonstrate it specifically in a field like technology that's constantly adapting. And that's where you get the exchange of ideas as well. Continue to learn. But I also want people to think of it outside of just professional growth and getting to whatever role you want. I mean, it's also been a process of self-actualization. I feel like such a hippie saying that. Self-actualization and discovering who you are, because your life, it's tough to say this because so many people are struggling to make ends meet, but your life really is more or should be more than what you're doing outside of the 40-hour work week. I know that's not always possible. I'm very sympathetic to that. But if you can step outside yourself and discover what you really enjoy, I think it's just, if you even never use that in a professional environment, that it's going to enrich your life. And you never know when you'll have an opportunity, like I did, when it would be applicable, you know? Definitely. Okay. Outside there, assess what you feel your weaknesses are and try to push that in some way.
Okay. Spectacular answer. Thank you for that. Yeah. I wish I could elaborate on something, but you just checked all the boxes there for me too. Like, there really is. There's a lot more to life than just, whatever it is you're typing under the command line and developing those relationships with people happens, and you learn outside your comfort zone. I mean, it's just, that's where it happens.
You might learn that, hey, I like this as a hobby. But this is ultimately maybe not something that I want to do professionally or vice versa. And I think that really click for me when I got the position in HPC. It all finally clicked for the first time in maybe ever. I don't know. Maybe since I was into Wes Anderson films as a kid.
There we go. I think we already touched on this a little bit. What's your employer's expectations in your current role?
So right now it would be the RHEL administration, a lot of user account management. We're kind of the jack of all trades that we'll have to do. It's not like a central IT organization where you're siloed off. Should have mentioned this in the beginning. We're kind of siloed off cloud networking. Boom. We have to do our own networking and be familiar. I've learned a lot about InfiniBand, which is this kind of an alternate to Ethernet. Our own networking, our own server stacking. So I've been doing a lot of that data center work, the programming, the editing of code in the researchers. Scripts. So right now it's just picking up all those skills and the new language. They understand I'm a junior, so a lot of that is just, again, it goes back to putting in the work, and it's not going to be perfect, your first 6 months or year, or it's going to take a while. And I think, in HPC it's so tight-knit since it is a niche, that being able to work with your team, lean on your team, and not be afraid to approach them is huge. So definitely in my team, but I think probably it's pretty universal. I felt this way even in accounts payable. Being the most talented or the quickest person in the team or in the room, that's not that's not the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to demonstrate that you can do teamwork is huge. So I think that's, you know, right now, that's part of my current role is gelling with the team,
mm-hmm.
picking up slack where I see it, and starting to put those pieces together as a junior administrator to offer kind of like the more baseline support. And yeah.
Okay.
I could go on. I could. I don't want to keep taking up time.
No, that's cool. I'll give you a choice to, can you read that on my screen? You can choose a sleeper question there if you want.
So I have Discord up.
Okay.
Brought anything else up.
No worries.
I can get to Twitch.
I can read them off real quick though too. Childhood, which favorite childhood game, screen or board? Now that you're adulting, what game still keeps you entertained? Any favorite sports teams get you going? Favorite comfort cuisine or comfort food? If you could have dinner with any fictional character, who would it be and why?
Fictional character?
Yes.
Oh. Wow, that's tough. I did have... What are some of the other questions?
Yep. If you could, what's your go-to comfort movie that you can watch over and over again? If you could possess a superpower for any day, what would it be? And why would you use it? If you had a time machine, would you go back to the past or the future?
Future, absolutely.
Future? Well, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would like to see the collapse of society. And then what we can build from the ashes. You know?
Okay. All right. Yeah. You can see what's coming. Yeah. Yeah.
You can see what's coming. You know, prepare yourself in your bomb shelter or whatever. Get back to those, building those relationships in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Probably important.
Talking to people face to face. Oh.
Yeah. Right. It's a foreign concept these days.
Yeah. Okay.
Comfort movie though, Magnolia. Mm-hmm. I love Paul Thomas Anderson. If there's anybody who knows who Paul Thomas Anderson is,
okay.
Probably know There Will Be Blood. That's probably his single biggest film.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember hearing. Yep. I never watched it though, but
Magnolia is a great sprawling story. It's just got a lot of great actors into it. It's bittersweet, I would say.
Okay.
I'm watching BoJack Horseman, so I kind of would like to meet BoJack as a, you know, fictional character. We can hang out and, well, I haven't been drinking, but I guess, well, you know, I can make an exception.
Yeah.
To drink and pick his mind.
As okay.
A 90s comedy sitcom star.
That's a horse.
Nobody. It's a horse. So I don't know.
Yeah.
How.
If you're not familiar with, if you're not familiar with BoJack Horseman, he's a horse.
He's a horse. He's a horse. Person.
Yeah.
Horseman. Horseman.
Okay. One of the last questions I have, and then we can, if anyone in chat has a question, I'm not sure if I have highlight your message. I think I do have a highlight your message, but if you have a question for Anya, please feel free to type it into the chat there, or DM me in Discord, whatever is easier for you. Morning, Supergirl. How you doing? I love Strux. What advice you wish you had when you first started on your path to where you are? You know, what is something that you know now that you wish you knew then, or someone you wish that someone had given you when you first started on your journey?
So we've touched on mm-hmm. basically all the topics here.
Yeah.
I wish I had known, and it's great that you put it as relationship building, because I was always told network, network, mm-hmm. network, you know, back through high school. I wish I had thought about it in those terms earlier,
mm-hmm.
but you know, the value of building relationships and how that would be important later on. It was, like you said, it was always described so clinically growing
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
The value of continuous learning, and I come from a lineage of educators, so you know, I would think that would have clicked with me earlier, but yeah, the diverse paths, as we talked about, there's no one right way to get into a field. There's no necessarily one even right role that you'd want to get into, because you'll surprise yourself in if you exercise continuous learning.
I'll grab all the questions. You just keep...
It's okay.
Yep.
The value of knowing that there are diverse paths in tech, but just in life in general. And it's okay to fail and not be perfect and get up and try again and try again.
Yes.
You might have to do a lot.
Yes.
Yes. Like, and that's why I was, you know, I don't want to... I try to broach the topic of like self-actualization and having a life outside of the 40-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
Delicately. I hope to. Because I know how much of a struggle it is to grind day in, day out, year in, year out, with no movement. And to feel like you're failing or have that voice that you're an imposter. So I don't want to downplay either element. But if you have an opportunity to start to kind of see outside yourself, and yeah, just realize it's not that big of a deal to ultimately fail or not get something on the right try. Don't let that stop you from learning and progressing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a messy process. It's a hard thing to put out there, especially if you're doing it on Twitch like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main things I wish I had known growing up, but took so much just life experience, just to know your value as a worker.
Mm-hmm.
Know your value as a worker in collectively within labor. I feel like, you know, we're in an era where workers just don't get any respect, man. But you do have more power than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in more and more numbers. And that's, I think, the other thing important. When you know your worth as a worker and you exercise building relationships, well, you get to bridging some of those things. And yeah, I'm kind of talking about maybe collective action,
mm-hmm.
bargaining. Those are just a bit dirty words in tech, but just knowing it, just knowing it and reinforcing it in your mind that you have value, you have worth.
Mm-hmm.
It might sound very cheesy,
No. But
it's incredibly important, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Continuous learning.
I agree with you 100%. Yep. The continuous learning, the managing or building relationships, and it's okay to fail and try again and again. I really do. Like, I don't think it can be said enough. Like, so many people They get too round up in, I'm still screwing up. I'm still, but like within the failing, you're still learning. Like the failing is still a result that you can learn from. It's just a dirty connotation is failing. You just get up and try some more. Just get up and try again.
Try. And you know, this is, it's kind of emblematic with how I started out with Bandit and over the wire chase. We bonded over that, of course.
Yeah.
Favorite bond. Like I said, when I started out in Bandit, including some of my first Twitch streams, I was looking at the guides and I was starting to become more focused on how people perceived me to be smart or whatever. And so I would read out, you know, and at this point I had to read out, how do you cat read me file, like really low level stuff.
I know, me too.
When I kind of got away with that, I mean, guides can be helpful, right? But you don't want to be just copying answers, just like in school. Don't copy answers. You're not going to learn. You learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. You learn from it. And when I started to tailor that and become more comfortable with, yeah, being honest, being kind of raw, not always good. Do get frustrated. And, that's another thing you can work on, though. It's not again, it's technical things, but how do you work under pressure?
Mm-hmm.
which has helped me with that. Mm-hmm. Although I'll get frustrated at people, I try to assess that and be like, okay, what am I doing? Why am I taking this off on a chatter?
I get the question. Not all the time. My stream is kind of leveled out. I will get this the question from time to time. Aren't you a pen tester?
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, everyone's still got a Google shit though. Like, give me a break. Like,
right.
I never said I was. Yeah.
I do get that. You know, I hadn't had a defined role, so I didn't think about it much. Because you know, I honestly use TryHackMe. It was a great learning experience going through like those boxes and stuff. But I'm just addicted to them from like they're puzzle like for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. I never had a role to tie that with, but people now are like, aren't you a Linux admin? Aren't you a Linux admin? You're doing it. You have an absolute path there. You have a relative path there or whatever. And I'm like,
right.
I don't know. I don't know everything off the top of my head.
Right.
Even though it's like, really basic, to be fair. So I try to understand where that chat, like, those people are coming from.
Well, I think that reveals a little bit about the person attitude. Who's that may be asking it.
ultimately, at the end of the day, you can control your reaction.
Work on
bettering that, you know.
And I do. I call myself I'm a penetration tester. Yes, I'm a hacker. I'm a hacker.
I do the quotes, but I'm like, hey man, I can lay claim to the title of Linux admin now.
Right. Yep.
Try not to be so hard on that. I think, you know, we share that with Twitch, and that's our platform we've chosen. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you have a different platform,
use it.
And then you can assess your strengths again.
Raspberry Pi
technically, this is. But also, how to manage your mood, how to speak more confidently. I cut out swearing, completely, which is a good thing. So that was about, more professional communication, and those are applicable back in work. So it's all, you know, it's all tied together, man.
Mm-hmm.
Time is a flat circle.
Yep. Real quick, I want to thank a couple people in and out of the chat. I'm sorry. I thought I had my stream manager up. Red Tacoma Noah, thank you for the follow. Gabriel TGGV, thank you for the follow. Otakamura. Fishbone, spectacular name. Thank you for the follow. McSky, Teddy, T-Bug was from yesterday. Thank you all. These are a couple of the questions from chat. I grabbed real quick. Are you still good on time, Anya? I know we were probably okay.
I have all day.
Okay. Rittenhouse wanted to know, does HPC still use Beowulf clusters, or is that a very old tech by now?
So as I understand it, we don't use Beowulf. But that is outdated tech. I'm gonna have to Google. Beowulf is the cluster architecture. Oh, right. I just learned this at the workshop, but I remember some of the institutions that we interacted with were on Beowulf. But it's advanced beyond there. What is our equivalent, though? Cool, thanks. I was looking for the equivalent in Beowulf. This is, what is it? I won't.
Okay, let me know.
I do remember that it was like becoming outdated architecture.
Okay. Whenever you find it, send it to me. If not, no worries. I will have, again, Anya went through and answered these questions at length. I'll have them on in my notebook, which gets backed up to GitHub. And I'll include that in the link on the Spotify podcast in the YouTube broadcast and in the folder for the interviews that I keep on Twitch. I love Strux ask, any non-tech books that changed your life or the way that you think about elements in your life?
That's a good question.
I know, right? I'm kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope it doesn't come my way. I can't think of a single book that I've read.
I felt I don't know that it changed my life, but it definitely, like, more of an identity thing was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Now that's the book or the because there's a movie. Okay, yeah. Yep. All right.
Yeah. So my dad was a big Hunter S. Thompson fan. He would read Hunter S. Thompson to me while I was in the womb, apparently. He was reading it the night I was born. Not Fear and Loathing, another.
Okay.
Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail.
All right.
So I just grew up around Hunter Thompson, and then I eventually read the books myself. It did, there is still quite a bit of profound stuff if you go back and you read it. I don't know about the film. I do like the film with Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess it's interesting because there's a lot of parallels that he describes in that book and subsequent books between, like, the administrations under Nixon and the movements that were going on that I see in parallels to today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use the term, like, social justice, labor movements.
Okay.
Yeah, I could probably go on with books, just kind of thinking, what did I take away from other books?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. I read some Dostoevsky, which should get your mind at least ticking.
Okay.
I will not claim to really understand Dostoevsky, but I think it's cool to interact with those, like, philosophical principles of existentialism, sure, and absurdism. It just gets you thinking differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think those were kind of influential just on what I chose to explore early on in life and then how I can kind of see these things connecting as an adult.
Okay. Spectacular. Sense. Yeah, spectacular answer. Chad B wants to know if you're going to DEF CON. Do you have plans to go to DEF CON?
DEF CON is up in there. Yeah, I'd have to get that somehow expense reimbursed. I think that's a 3-day or is it longer?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it is over a few days.
It's a few days.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a flight. And then housing. I know a lot of everybody, like, shares the Airbnb,
mm-hmm,
so you can cut costs that way. But I think right now it might be a little expensive. And I don't think that's something I could work in. It's like, oh yeah, this is for work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Not yet.
Not quite yet.
I'm considering Hackspace Con now. Running a very cool. Tagore, I wanted to know, is Hotel Plus ticket was just under 2K. Yeah. Yeah. Is there value in getting out in the world and touching grass every once in a while?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Go touch grass.
Yep.
If you can, go ahead and do it. You know, I was a very touching grass person before the pandemic. I'm a very people person, which is why I did Twitch, because I was like, oh God, I'm losing my mind. I'm alone all the time in this apartment. Would have a roommate come in and out. Kind of, you know, for a bit during the peak COVID era, mm-hmm, I feel like I, like, kind of lost touch with the world,
mm-hmm,
and became very, I love Twitch, but it, you know, became kind of like a little bit detrimental to my mental health. And I know, mm-hmm, a lot of people have to take breaks with that.
Yeah.
So if you're an online person, like I am, I'm an online denizen, just feel your mental health slipping. Take a pause and just, I don't know, go outside, exercise, mm-hmm, get that in daily. I've been exercising daily. It helps to break up the day. It helps to remind me that the sun exists and that there are changes in the day, the sunset. And
mm-hmm,
it is very good mentally to, okay, now I'm off work. you know, the sun's starting to go down. I'm off. And yeah, keep those bonds going with people in your community if you can. It's tough, but if you can do something local to your community, yeah, that's another thing I would recommend. So yeah, put some grass.
Awesome. Yep, I agree with you. I'm in Ohio. It actually got up to like 65, 70 the middle of the week last week. And I went outside for my run. It felt wonderful being out there. Yep.
Yeah. The breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the sun, a little bit of the sun.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And you're like adrenaline and music and kind of tune out the world for that bit. It's always really nice. I try to do it even every day, even though it's getting very hot down here.
I bet. I bet.
But we're not even near the worst of it.
Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. Tagore also asks, a big project of his as an educator, even now, is to encourage women to work on systems, sysadmin, HPC, etc. And Tour wants to know, what is your perspective on encouraging young women to get into the side, into this side of IT?
Yeah, I guess I don't have any thoughts about, not until right now, about women getting specifically into like administration, systems engineering, HPC. Like I just would encourage women to consider tech and STEM in general as a route. I think, you know, more and more that is absolutely happening. There's so many great people that we interact with on Twitch who are fellow women. I was discouraged, not discouraged, but I was not encouraged to go in the direction of STEM, let alone getting into, like I said, systems engineering, administration, etc. And, you know, that goes back to the earlier question of what I had wished and I had known as a child, but also as a woman. Like, you're capable of this. You can do it. And nothing really separates you from the men, except that they've been primed for these roles by society, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a good point, I take where I think, I was really heartened to see a lot of a good representation of women in our HPC workshops and, you know, some research facilitating, some really heavy duty scripting. I can't keep up, but I would encourage women to explore the area and don't feel like you're chained into, I guess, you know, front end development or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Cool.
You can get down and dirty. You can do the server work.
That's right.
Right?
Absolutely.
This is such a great take.
And less than three. And Luca, her next question was, she just put in chat there, but what's your favorite command line tool and why? And what's the worst? What's the worst you always have to Google the syntax?
Oh my God, that's such a broad answer, especially with the syntax. What's my favorite command line tool? I guess as a
Anyaski.
I'm learning to learn shell attack on a target system with strict outbound firewall rules in place. I guess I'm a real fan of like pgrep and psgrep being an administrator. I know that's maybe a simplistic answer, but awk sed, I'm trying to learn more about awk and sed and how to utilize that. You know, sed great for how would we do distill that stream editing, editing, filtering, and transforming your text documents. I'm not getting that confused. I hope. What do I have to Google syntax constantly.
Me too.
That's difficult. Even, you know, I'm a real abuser of catting out a file and then typing grep, right?
Oh,
apparently
yeah.
We're like just cat out a text file, for example, pipe.
Yeah.
And then grep for a term. I abuse catting like crazy.
Oh, I do that too. I do that too all the time. Is there? There's It sounds like there's a better way to do that, to search a document. Is that what
right,
you're saying?
Right.
All right, well, I don't know it yet.
No, not just in documents, but...
All right.
I had read an article about this recently. I wish I had the knowledge. Other things. I mean, I love rsync. Starting to love rsync. And just other synchronizational tools.
Yeah.
We have to do that constantly. You know, it's very important since we're running parallel file systems. I hope that was a decent answer.
I think so.
Broad thing to think about, you know?
Yeah. Red Tacoma asked, and Red Tacoma, if you missed the beginning of it, me and Anya like bonded essentially over her playing Over the Wire Bandit Challenge. So that's one of the platforms that we were on at first. But Red Tacoma was asking, do you play Hack the Box as well?
Yeah, I'm on more Try Hack Me, and I like Bone Hub.
Mm-hmm.
I just you know, Bone Hub also can be very useful if you're starting to build your own hacking labs. There's some good documentation out there of how you can fold in certain Bone Hub boxes. But yeah, I do Hack the Box. I don't think I've done a Hack the Box challenge in well over a year, though. I sucks to admit that. I feel like, you know, when I started to prepare for the new job, you know, that's just something I love to do in my free time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I kind of start to fall out of the level that is required for Hack the Box, being a little bit more savvy. So I'm trying to try Hack Me.
Yeah, a little bit more advanced, a little bit harder, bit harder, actually, I think, in some aspects. Yeah.
You know, everybody says that you can't find an easy box on Hack the Box.
Right.
No true easy box.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to avoid above, but I'll just mention it. Vim obviously is a very good tool for command line usage. I didn't want to get into the Vim Emacs war.
Huh? You don't want to the hot takes when they come in and shame you for using Vim? I do the opposite. I shame people when they come into my stream for saying they use NeoVim. I mute them, or I time them out for 1 second when people say they use NeoVim. Just because whatever works. If you use NeoVim,
yeah, that's
whatever. Use it.
Yeah, exactly my philosophy. If Visual Studio works for you, great. Emacs work for you, great.
Use it.
NanoVim, just use it. Get what you need. Everybody has different needs.
Yep.
I feel like there's always this like universal prescription,
mm-hmm.
like Vim for everything. Yeah, but I wouldn't expect a developer, like a game developer,
right,
to be familiar with Vim. That's definitely more of a systems, more important a systems role or a Linux admin role. Probably, yeah, security as well.
I'm sorry. Aqua just stumbled upon. I have blocked various NeoVim terms, so you can't even type it into chat. It'll auto mod NeoVim.
Oh,
it's pure cipher. Found one of the ones I haven't gotten to yet. Tawny says, for as general, fun fact, before Git, all Gen2 e-build updates for tracking software version build instructions were transferred primarily through rsync to users around the world. I did not know that. Cool, Tawny.
That's very cool.
Gen2,
the final frontier for me. That's one distribution I've never fooled around with. Maybe it's time.
And Generalism's last question here, how would you execute a reverse shell attack on a target system with strict outbound firewall rules in place?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Through the combination of Google and ChatGPT-4, I'll get back to you on that.
I mean, I can tell you, like, a scenario where we catch a reverse shell, you know. I did a box last night, like that's probably representative of the real work of a pen tester. But outbound firewalls, I have to quite think about that.
Tawny's got us. DNS exfiltration is a reverse shell.
Oh, okay. I feel like maybe I should have at least known something.
I think I have a general. You can get hired as the employee there. You can then drop the reverse shell on their system and then go home and access it. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Problem solved.
Yeah, well, you got it. There's always an alternate route.
Well, Anya, is there anything else that you wanted to cover that I didn't ask, or anything else you want to talk about, or anything before we wrap up?
I think we were pretty extensive. Yeah. Just want to encourage people to, you know, keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. Try everything. Learn what you like and learn what you can implement at work or in a new position. And don't be... Oh, thank you. Yeah, everybody's buying me tuck swag. I have like 5 shirts that I can swap out.
That's awesome. And coming from James Halliday, the maker of the Oasis. Can you believe that? Yeah.
Oh,
amazing. Wow.
Very cool. Yeah. Just I think we share a lot of the same philosophy and a lot of the similar prescriptions to kind of, yeah, there's a little bit of a rigidness in tech, but this applies to all sectors, really, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just cool. Try to stretch your limits and try to put yourself out there. Yeah, but thanks for having me.
Sure. Not a problem.
A good time.
It has. It's been a long time coming. We've been chit-chatting since 2021 when we first said we wanted to collaborate on something. And who knew it was going to take us that long. But I'm glad that we finally were able to get together and chit-chat. I feel like I know you a little bit better. I appreciate the chance to chit-chat with you or hop in your stream and watch what you're working on. And, you know, thank you again for hanging out with me and talking with me about it, Anya.
Yeah, thanks. We'll have to do something again, especially since I'm such a Discord boomer and I miss out on those interactions. I'm talking about here, stretch your interactions. Like, amazing. Can't get myself to pull up Discord. Yeah, it was an awesome talk, and hope we can do something again soon.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so I guess okay.
How you can just hang up and you won't hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
No worries. Whatever.
I'm just going to hang up.
Or hang up. Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Have a good time.
Bye, Anya. Yep.
See you, everybody.
Oh, that was super awesome. Enjoy.